This audio accompanies HTML Notes S15, which is the information that I had planned to cover in class on January 27th, Tuesday, the day of the snowstorm. So, we are going to look at the things that I covered in there. The first example is HTML5 linkpage.html. It has two links on it, one of them to another page, and the other, second one to new page. Another page works because there is a page called anotherpage.html in the directory that holds HTML5 linkpage.html. New page link does not work because newpage.html does not exist. Okay, so notice what the links are. I write A for anchor, H reference equals, and in quotes, I put the name that I saved the page as, in this case, anotherpage.html. And remember, I saved that in the same directory that had HTML5 linkpage.html, or in the HTML5 directory. The rest of the line, after I say A, H reference equals another page, I have the greater than sign that goes with the initial A. Then I write the words that I want to appear on the page. Then I close the A, and because I want to move down to another line, I use the BR. On the next example, I am just showing that basically without a lot of room. On the third page, I am showing the page called HTML5 morelinks.html. Here I have three different links. One of them is to a web address. So it starts with http://, and then I put in the web address, the last thing being the name of the page. If I click on this link, I will go to that page. In the following, or the second one, I have a file that I want to see called file.insub.html5. It is stored in a subdirectory called sub.html5. So that means my page that I'm currently on is in HTML5. More specifically, it's in the root of pgrocer.net, in CIS 17, in HTML, and in HTML5. So the page is in HTML5. Now what I've done is I've added a subdirectory called sub.html5 under HTML5. And in that subdirectory, I have put the name of the file. So if I'm sitting in HTML5, specifically in the page called HTML5 morelinks.html, when I click on the second link, it will say, oh, is there a subdirectory of that name in HTML5? Well, there is. So it goes to that subdirectory and finds file and sub HTML5. On the third example, I simply am linking to a page. And the page is in the HTML5 subdirectory, so I just put the name of the page. On the next slide, I am going to show you these addresses. Okay? First, if you look at HTML5, you see the subdirectory called sub.html5. And you also see a bunch of pages that are in that directory. On the next slide, I have clicked on sub.html5, and I am showing the file that is inside it. which is file and sub HTML5.html. Another page is the page I go to when I came out of the first link. And it is a page that I created in Word. And I want to caution you about this. I created a Word page. I saved it as a web page right within Word. And so it converted it. You should see the code that it generated. Anyway, I can do this because I told it to create the page. However, I would never write HTML inside Word because Word would add too much to it, it would fix it, and the HTML would not work. The next slide is a slide that is showing some headers and then some lists. So inside the body, I have six headers. Notice that the headers diminish in font size, and so they get smaller and smaller as we go down the page. And also notice that after each header, there is a blank line. Okay, headers do that by default, just like a paragraph does. So when I wrote the paragraph that contained the last sentence, now I'm going to make an ordered list followed by an unordered list, I got a blank line after it. Then I put in the ordered list with the list items and the unordered list with the list items that we did in earlier examples. Moving on to the next slide, I have added color and I've added alignment. I have aligned header 1 to the center. I've aligned header 2 over to the right-hand side. And I aligned header 3 to the center. I changed the color on all three headers. I made the unordered list items red. I made the font for everything else brown. And I made the background beige. To do this, I'm going to use CSS, which is Cascading Style Sheets. The format for Cascading Style Sheets is to set up the style in the head. Then I list a selector. That means something that can be written as a tag that I want to use to style. So if I want to style an H1 header, H1 is my selector. If I want to style a paragraph, P is my selector. If I want to style a list item, LI is my selector. Then once I've got the selector, I enclose in curly braces the things that I want to color or change. So I wrote color. I follow that with a colon. That is a property. Then I write blue, meaning I want to change the color to blue, and I follow that with a semicolon. Notice that color will mean change the font color. So I'm going to change the font color of this H1 header to blue. After the semicolon, this example shows font size, colon, 12 pixels, semicolon, on the same line. I usually put them on a different line, but it's totally up to the programmer. So I'm saying font hyphen size, which means the size of the font, colon, and then 12 pixels, semicolon. And so that will, at that point, change the H1's color and size. Continuing on with this explanation, it shows the two ways of writing the style. One, all on one line, and one, breaking it up for readability. So, here is what I did. First of all, in the head, I wrote the style tag. And then I wrote type equals text CSS, which tells the browser that the style that I'm talking about is CSS. Well, in fact, CSS is the default, so I actually could have just written style. Notice right before I close the head, I also close the style, and that's important. If you forget that, it will really mess up the showing of your page. Okay, so now I went in and I said, okay, the body. Okay, and remember, body is usually the first tag saying this is starting the body. I said, the body, I want to have a background color of beige. And notice, the background color is beige. And I said, color, brown. And that means that the color of the text is going to be brown. So, color, brown. Now, notice that the semicolon at the end of each line, and notice the colon that separates the property from the value. So, color is the property, brown is the value. Then I went in and did the color, H1 header, and I changed its color to red, and I said I wanted it in the center, and I do that by saying text hyphen align, colon, and then center, semicolon. For the header 2, I made it blue, and the alignment I put to the right. For header 3, I made it green, and I kept the alignment in the center. And then the UL, I said the contents of the UL I want to be red. And so those three lines changed to red. The default color is the color of everything that I didn't change. So the other three headers, the lines that I wrote, and the ordered list are all brown. Now I have done a little bit more alignment in that I have got two lines at the top and two lists, and I have made change the color and the alignment, and I've used CSS to do that. If I look at this, I can see that my body has a default color of red. But then I went down and said the LI should be color green, so green 1. And the LIs are green, whereas the headers are actually, they're not headers, it's a paragraph. The paragraph is red. I said that I wanted the paragraph to be aligned in the center, so it is. And I said I wanted a font size of 2EM, which means it is twice the size. Now I want to add an image. Okay, I'm going to put the image up on the page. So I'm placing the image in the same directory or folder as the page. I could have put it someplace else, but then I would have needed an address so that the browser could find it. So it was just easier to put it into the page directory, the directory that the page was in. So, the only thing I did to add the image is, at the spot that I wanted to add the image, I said image, source equals, and then I put the name of the image, which was cisa.gif in quotes. And then, that was the whole image tag. The image tag is like the BR tag. It doesn't have a close BR. So, all I have here is image. And then the source, meaning where it is, SRC is for source, equals CISA GIF. Now on the next one, I'm going to put the image in the center. So to do that, I need to use CSS. And you can see I added image up in my style, and then I put in the CSS. Well, these three lines will center the image. I want to display it as a block. I want the margin left and the margin right to be auto, and that means the same margin on either side, and that means that it's centered. And now the last thing I'm going to look at is a table. Okay, this table is set up, and you can see that there are four cells that have something in them. The first two cells are on one row, the last two cells are on another row. I have borders around the cells, and I have a thick border around the whole table. And in one of the cells, I put an image. Okay, So this is the way I did it. First of all, in the style, I said that the table is going to have a border that's solid and thick. And then I said the TD, which we're going to talk about in a minute, has a border that's solid and thin. Okay, so now let's look at the code that I put into the body. First of all, I specified table. And when I was done with table, I closed table. Then I wanted two rows. TR stands for a row. So notice there's a TR and a closed TR, and then another TR and closed TR. Within the row, I want two cells, and cells are done with TD. So I have the first cell, and the second cell I put an image into. So in the second cell, I have image source equals CISA GIF. Notice on that one, I have a slash at the end where I said image source equals CISA GIF. That slash is not necessary. It's okay, but it's not necessary. I closed that row and I started another row. On the next row, I have two TDs. Notice that those just fit. Well, what happens is when the table is created, it figures out what's going to go in it. And it sizes the cells to be appropriate, if it can, to hold all of the things that you want to put in. On the last slide, I decided to center that table. And when I centered the table, I put it up inside table, and I said margin auto, which means both the left and the margin right will be auto, and it will end up centering the table.